Now, first we had the ice bucket challenge on social media. Then it was the mannequin challenge, having us all doing stupid things. Now we have the spekboom challenge, which actually has a great purpose behind it, although some of the others did too. But if you're wondering what I'm talking about, well, firstly, where have you been? Because has Facebook not already told you that you are meant to be planting at least 10 spekboomer before the end of this year? And it is a challenge that has made us look again at a humble little plant that we all kind of knew was there and didn't pay all that much attention to. And it's making us go, hang on, stop and look at this again as a key weapon in the arsenal fighting the challenge of climate change. With me in studio are two people whose lives have been touched by the spekboom challenge in quite profound ways and who are doing something quite special with it out in Stellenbosch. Peter Shrimpton is one of the co-founders of Heart Capital, which is a firm that believes in investing in projects that have high social payback and which address crucial social and environmental problems. And the big passion project at the moment is the Great Labyrinth made of spekboom. More on that in a moment. But Peter, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
And welcome as well to Rakai Mapenda, who is one of what Peter calls a treepreneur. He's one of the treepreneurs who are part of this project, and his life has been profoundly changed by it. It's lovely to have you with us as well.
Thank you, Cape Talk.
Thank you. Now, the spekboom, the pork bush, the elephant's food, it's sometimes called. Peter, what's special about it for those who haven't found out about it through social media?
Well, you know, first of all, once upon a time, it was okay to drive a motor car or to use electricity and go to bed at night not thinking about your carbon emissions. Mm. But as we become now acutely aware of that, we are in a climate emergency, and unless we do something about regressing our carbon emissions, our kids are facing extinction. That is a terrifying thought. Spekboom just happens to take out 10 times more CO2 than an average tree, and therefore is one of the number one carbon gulpers on the planet. What's also so amazing about spekboom is that climate change is such a big issue. We all go, well, I can't do anything about climate change. And then we don't do anything about climate change. And when you've got 7 billion people on the planet with that attitude, we create the climate crisis. Mm. But everybody can plant a spekboom, right?
Yeah. That's even those with no green fingers like me can keep a spekboom alive.
It's really actually very difficult to kill. It grows naturally in the desert. It needs 250 milliliters of water a year to sustain itself.
A year.
We grow spekboom in the harshest conditions. As you probably know, we started growing spekboom 3 years ago in townships. So they certainly haven't been pampered. You know, they've experienced the belly of the beast, if you will. Mm. We started with 300 trees 3 years ago. Today we have 164,000 trees in stock, and we've planted over 65,000 trees. So that, I guess, demonstrates the resilience of this wonderful little plant.
That's over 120,000 trees in total. I mean, has the spekboom challenge been a game changer for you? Because it sounds to me like you were doing this long before social media cottoned onto it.
Look, we've done our fair bit in terms of advocacy work on trying to popularize spekboom, okay. And that's been a long haul. But in the last year or so, I think that the word has got out there and it's won the hearts of the public, which is always so important. And now I must tell you, it's iconic. It's taken on a life of its own. We're just enjoying the ride, really.
Okay. Well, it's a lot more pleasant planting a spekboom than it was tossing a bucket of ice water down our backs. I'll give you that much. Okay. Before we bring in Rick Iyer and hear about his part in this story, it's the bigger picture of the Great Labyrinth, Peter, is to plant lanes upon lanes of spekboom to create a Great Labyrinth. Tell us a little bit more about the vision there.
You know, I wanted to draw attention and awareness in around this issue. I went onto the internet and I said, what is a man-made object that promotes mindfulness? And I very quickly came across labyrinths, and I found this mystical thing that's been around for many thousands of years, found all across the planet. And when you walk a labyrinth, unlike a maze where you get confused and bewildered, with a labyrinth there's one path in and you just follow your feet until you get to the center. And I thought to myself, that's amazing. I mean, it really is an amazing thing. And I've always wanted to build something so big you can see it from space. My wife calls me a man-child. Went onto the internet, Googled, and the first image that popped up was the Great Pyramid of Giza. And I said, well, great, how big is that? And I found out it was absolutely enormous. And then I said, well, why don't we do that? Why don't we build the biggest labyrinth in the world made out of spekboom as a living monument to remind humanity to be mindful of their carbon footprint?
Wonderful. And as you say, it's a space of contemplation and quiet reflection on our own role in something bigger, which is so symbolic of what you're trying to do. Now, let me bring you in here, Rick Iyer. Had you ever heard of a spekboom until a couple of years ago? How did you first encounter this plant, which has changed your life so?
First of all, I'm so proud of myself, and I'm so grateful to Peter Shrimpton and Mandy with the Heart Charitable Trust for bringing me to work together with them. because I didn't know about the spec boom. I was just a painter. So they brought me to teach me how to propagate and plant the spec boom.
And I know when Peter first met you, you were in a really tough position. You were separated from your family. You were struggling to make ends meet, to find work as a painter. Talk to us now about how being involved in this project has changed your life. What has it meant to you?
It has changed me a lot because it was just a struggle like everyone here in South Africa. You can see a lot of people waiting by the robots, waving for just a day job. It was just like me also, just like everyone. But this has changed my life. Now it's actually something that I wish if everyone can just get the opportunity to plant spec boom and come on board so that they can change the whole situation with the climate change that is affecting the whole universe.
So your job is looking after a large contingent of those trees that are destined for the big picture of the labyrinth. What's it like looking after them?
Yo, it has been so great, and I've been enjoying it because I've just been looking at them. They're just like my babies.
They're babies which are edible. That's the one thing we haven't mentioned. Peter, the spec boom, I understand, is actually really, really high in vitamin C and can be included in one's diet.
It's absolutely true. Of course, growing them in townships, we didn't tell folks that they were edible because we were concerned they would. If you have 46 leaves a day, it gives you all the vitamin C intake. Delicious if you chop them up and put them into salads. And I must say that the treepreneurs on the odd occasion will look around when no one's watching and I see them pluck a couple of leaves and pop them into their mouths. But with 164,000 in stock, if you lose a couple of leaves here or there, it's not too bad.
I think we can look the other way. How many people like Rakai have you got involved in this project?
We've got five now, entrepreneurs. Okay. You know, when we started out, we were empowering really, really poor people, and not everybody wants to take on the responsibility of managing 25,000 trees. Many people were quite happy just to grow 100 or 200 or 300. Mm-hmm. But out of this program over the past few years, we identify our superstars, our rock stars like Rakai, who the more trees you gave him and the more responsibility you gave him, the more he thrived. And then he's been through an entrepreneur program. We've taught him how to run a business. And as I say, he now is the proud owner of 25,000 trees. So it's been amazing for us to work so closely with the man and see him take advantage of an opportunity and put everything into it, heart and soul, lift himself out of poverty, his family out of poverty. Mm. And I just hope he remembers me one day when he's famous.
It sounds like he's never going to forget me. We've got 25,000 trees. That's 25,000 babies. How is it going to feel to hand them over at some point and say, go forth and plant them, and what's next? Do you think you'll stay in the business?
I'll miss my babies, but anyway, they are for a great cause.
Okay.
As you have heard, that the climate change, that the trees gonna help also to remove all the carbon footprint that we have. Everyone is driving a car, but they don't know that they are causing the cause of climate change. So I'll miss my trees.
Peter, what's the timeline on the finished labyrinth being there and ready to walk? At what stage of the project are you actually in right now?
So we've already started planting. Mm-hmm. We hope to have the labyrinth built by the end of April. Every Saturday is volunteer day. The first week that we did it, we had folks drive all the way out from Cape Town to Stellenbosch Bridge, where we are growing this great labyrinth. Mm-hmm. Stellenbosch Bridge is being built on smart city principles. It's one of the first smart cities to be built on the African continent, which is tremendously exciting on its own. And Daniel Creel, who's the CEO and founder of that project, he is a visionary. He saw the potential of us putting this great labyrinth into this development. And so people would travel all the way out from Cape Town to Stellenbosch, not to volunteer, literally just to come and see that it was real.
Okay.
And when they got there and they saw how massive it is, because it really is massive, and they saw 164,000 spec boom trees, they had the confidence to say, great, we'll come back next Saturday. And every Saturday, it's just been getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm sure within the next 3-4 weeks, we're going to have hundreds of volunteers who come down on Saturday and plant trees.
It's amazing. I mean, the scale of it is quite difficult to picture sitting here, but you're talking about a labyrinth that's going to be several kilometers to walk if you do the full thing, I understand.
It's
is that correct?
6 kilometers from the entrance to the middle and then 6 kilometers out again.
Wow.
Really good news is, though, that because the lanes are so wide, they're over 7.5 meters, we're building a cycle track. It's going to be the only cycle labyrinth in the world.
Wow.
So you can certainly walk it in a pedestrian lane, and that will be very private and beautiful. But if you feel so inclined, inclined to rent one of the bicycles and have a cycle or an e-bike to the center, you can do that too.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm thinking of park run at 5 kilometers. That's the, okay, so it's 12 kilometer round circuit. Maybe there needs to be a park run on steroids starting at the Labyrinth.
No, there's a good idea.
Okay, so for our listeners who are listening to this going, I want to be part of this, obviously the one thing they can do is plant a speckworm in their own garden and space, or in the office garden, as it were. They can come down on a Saturday and help plant trees. Which is more valuable to you? Is it the hands coming to your project to contribute, or would you rather people were inspired to do this on a small scale in their own homes?
That's the reason we built it, right? Is we just want to encourage everybody to plant speckworm. The Labyrinth is just a nexus. It's a lightning rod. And we're using this platform to popularize speckworm and really to mobilize people in South Africa to go to their nearest nursery, wherever they can, get a speckworm, find out who's got one, ask them if you can have a clipping. But if we can do this, if we can end up inspiring millions of people to grow speckworm from our Great Labyrinth project, that would be amazing. We just started a schools program where we're building little mini labyrinths now at school. Seed School is one of the first schools that have come on board, so we can expand this mindfulness movement in and around speckworm and having labyrinths all over South Africa. And hopefully this idea catches on and we take it around the world.
Well, I can tell you it's caught on in Cape Town, because I know City of Cape Town told us this week they've got 5,000 of them growing at their Newlands nursery with a view to planting them during the month of April. So so glad to hear that it's catching on, and I hope you can have Cape Talkers streaming in on Saturday mornings to help you get yours finished. The final thing to say is a huge thank you to Peter Shrimpton and Rekai Mapenda, who've come all the way through to chat to us today. Really appreciate your time and good luck. Can't wait to see the finished product.
Thank you. Can't wait to see you there.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you with us. And Rekai, all the best to you, the treepreneur looking after 25,000 speckworm babies. I love that visual.